Scripture reading this morning will come from Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, verses 12 and 13. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved.
Good morning to everybody. I know you are all curious about who is going to help me preach today. I've been telling you that Sparky's going to come. Some of you have guessed that that's Sparky Anderson. Although I was a big fan of the Big Red Machine, that is not the Sparky that we're talking about. Let me get Sparky. Hey, Sparky, wake up. This is Sparky. Got to put him in his chair there. Okay, there we go. Sparky may be a little flea-bitten looking and worn out, but Sparky's been a friend to me for many years. When I was, I think I was in second grade. You know how they used to have these carnivals come along that would be in the strip malls? So they had a carnival show up at Old Northern Lights. That was the old neighborhood for me. And I had, I don't know, a dollar, 50 cents, whatever. And they had one of these things up where you could throw three darts. If you hit three balloons, you win a bear. Well, my mom let me play it. So I threw a dart. I miraculously hit a balloon, and it popped. I threw another dart. It hit another balloon, and it popped, and my heart was racing. I'm like, I could win this thing, man. This is really cool, you know? How did this happen? I threw that third dart, and it hit the balloon, but the balloon didn't pop. And, you know, there was a crowd of people behind me. I'm like, where did all these people come from? Because they saw that I'd hit two balloons. And they wanted to see if I was going to win the bear or not. And, you know, it was like air was let out of the balloon. It was like, oh. And I started to turn away, and I caught in the corner of my eye, and I heard the sound. The guy walks by that's running the thing, and he pops the balloon. And everybody goes, yay! And I realize, oh, I get the bear. Hold on to that thought for a minute. You know, we live in a world that is increasingly harsh. We want our politicians to speak tough. We like taunting on the football field. Did you taunt anybody Friday night in your win? Good. Good young man. We want people to have a take and don't stink, right? Our world has really changed things over in how they act, in their speech, in their attitude towards others. We are not very graceful people. You know, we sing the song Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. But do we understand that grace? Do we understand what grace is about? It's a familiar song to us. We could all sing it probably without the songbooks. But do we understand it? What does it mean to give grace? God's grace allows us to have the opportunity to be saved. We can do nothing to deserve it, and it's a free gift of God. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and following, the scripture says, "But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast, but we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand for us to walk in him. God gave us grace, and God pulled us out of our death at a time when we could not do anything. You know, Jesus set the example for grace, and I appreciated Dana's message over the table this morning. Philippians 2:6 applies here. Although he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus set the example of grace. His obedience to his Father on our behalf showed us all that we could have his unmerited favor, showed us all that we didn't need to languish in our death any longer, because he gave of himself, because he saw a need and he fulfilled it. We frequently consider ourselves equal to our friends and acquaintances, or sometimes we even think we're better than our friends and acquaintances. And we certainly sometimes think that we're better than people in the world. Do we consider, though, that those folks need to be served? Are we better than other people? Can we be a great witness for God if we think like Jesus and act according to his example? I want to suggest to you some ways that we can witness to others. I want to suggest to you ways that our love can be on fire for Christ, that it doesn't grow cold like in our passage was read today. Those Christians were in dire straits. They were going to grow cold in their love because of false teaching, because the way the world treated them, because they despaired of what was going on. We cannot let our love grow cold if we want to be the examples, if we want to show grace to others. So a few suggestions. First, forgive others and don't hold grudges. We know people who hold grudges. It's not pleasant and it's ungracious. It ruins relationships, splits families, creates division. We're told in Matthew 18:20-22 that how many times are we supposed to forgive? 7 times 70. 70 times 70. We need to forgive, period. We don't keep a running count. We forgive others. That's a commandment that's been given to us. We can be gracious to others by showing hospitality. Have you ever heard the term aggressive hospitality? Christians ought to take every opportunity to share their home with neighbors. Don't wait for the house to be perfectly cleaned or decorated. Neighbors always appreciate being invited. The aggressive part of hospitality is just that. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't be reciprocal. Do it first. Just be gracious in inviting others and not expecting to be invited back. Another way of practicing aggressive hospitality is to go out and sit on Jennings and LaDonna's porch. You know what? If we go and sit on our front porch and live out in our front yards, you'll see a lot of people. You'll meet a lot of people. And you'll get to know your neighbors. And you can have that relationship where you get to know them and start meeting their needs. Help before you're being asked to. When we have spent time getting to know someone, then we can understand what help they might need. You know, if you get to know that neighbor, you might find out there's something that you can do for them.
You might find out about their situation and how difficult it is. And you might be able to provide comfort in Christ's name to help them out. We need to overlook slights. It might come as a result of someone's condescending tone. Did you hear it right? Or from a failure of someone who didn't wave at you. That guy didn't wave. I waved at them. Why didn't they wave back at me? It might come in the thought that somebody, you just think that they said something that offended you. Maybe you need to think differently. Or it's possible they did say something that offended you. As graceful people, we need to be able to overlook those slights. You know, we answer to God. We don't answer to other people. We need to keep our relationship with Him open. We need to keep our relationship with Him in a way that He understands what we do. In a way that we understand that He loves us. We're not going to worry about other people. I was talking to Kara this morning. She was telling me that she was teaching about Daniel and the lion's den in Bible class this morning. And I said, you know what? I bet there's people that instead of the favorite part of that being that God kept the mouths of the lion shut, they like the part where He ate all the officials who had Him thrown in there, the lions and their families. That's the kind of world we kind of live in these days. Don't be like the world. Overlook those slights. Overlook those issues that cause you problems. I love watching a movie where the bad guy gets his due. Kira doesn't understand it. I love it. But we need to overlook slights towards us. We need to be quick to listen. James 1:19 says, "This you know, my beloved brethren, that everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." Let's be quick to hear other people, to listen to them, to hear what's on their mind. Let's spend time understanding who they are and how we can help them with their needs in Christ. Go the extra mile. Once in a while, people will ask for a favor. When they do, be ready to find out what else you can do for them. You'll make a difference in somebody's life when you go the extra mile. Sometimes they'll push you into doing something. Go the extra mile. These things help people understand that you are a witness to Christ. Matthew 5:40 says, "If anyone wants to see you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also." But I'm righteous here. I'm the good guy here. I'm doing the... It doesn't matter. Go the extra mile. Do good deeds. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, when we read this shortly, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we could walk in them." You want to be a Christian? You want to share your witness? Give grace to others by doing good deeds. Be gracious to the stranger. You know, it's popular in this country right now to blame all our problems on immigrants. Immigrants made this country great. Leviticus 19:34 says, "The stranger who resides with you shall be as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you are aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." All those Israelites that were down in Egypt, they were aliens in the land. You Israelites need to understand what it's like to be an alien in the land. Hey, Christians, are we aliens in this land? We're certainly different from the world if we're acting right. We understand what it's like to be treated wrongly. Let's be nice to others, the stranger in our land. I'm not going to get into the politics of migrants. Just if you see one around you, be nice to them, okay? That's what we're about. That's what our Christian witness is. Be a good Samaritan. Be gracious to the injured man at the side of the road. And don't ask for your money back. If you see somebody that needs something, help them out. Don't worry about who's going to pay for it. Have graceful speech. Colossians 4:5. "Conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Speak with truth. Speak with grace. We can be kind to others when we talk to them. We can assume the best of others. We don't have to assume the worst. You know, I've been there where I've been paranoid about what was being said from the pulpit. I've been frustrated. I've been there where I didn't want to hear what somebody had to say because I didn't trust them. We got to be careful that we don't get to that point. We need to leverage what they say against the scripture, not our own fears. We need to leverage what people say in our life in such a way that we treat them with grace. Why do we do these things? Why do we act this way? Because we want to be a witness. So old Sparky here, somebody showed me grace a long time ago. I learned that lesson as a child. Sometimes I forget it. You know, when the person in front of me, we got a left turn signal, and they're sitting there, and I'm behind them. I'm not showing a lot of grace then. When you get a bill for something that you don't owe, and you've argued with the company about it, are you going to show grace? The person on the phone, it's not their company. They don't care. Just be graceful to them. Are the neighbors in your neighborhood aware that you're a Christian? Show grace to them. Jesus showed us grace by making it possible for us to be saved. Grace is a big deal, and God's grace is the biggest of all. We were undeserving, yet He has gifted us with salvation. If we accept His gift, we know that we have to hear, believe, confess, repent, and be baptized. We know we have to do those things. But we also know that we need to rise to walk in newness of life and walk in that newness of life, demonstrating God's grace to others and letting them understand why we're Christians. This morning, if we can help you in any way with your walk, if you've not been a Christian and you want to be one, we would love to help you. If you need help, prayers of the church to improve your grace, we would love to help with that as well. Please come while we stand and sing.